Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God, for God is everything, and everything is God. Amen, amen. We praise God for everybody on tonight that is tuning in into Apostle Delilah Gamble's radio station at End Time Deliverance Ministry. Amen. We are really looking for the Lord to just have his way on tonight. We have a special speaker on tonight that is Apostle Jerdine Fisher. She will be on shortly, but she will be talking about the spirit of intimacy concerning our relationship with God, the spirit of intimacy concerning our relationship with God. So I'm just going to go into prayer, and we're just going to let the Lord have his way. I decrease and let the Lord increase. Let God be glorified and let the devil stay horrified. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God. We just thank you right now for what you're going to do in the hearts of your people, the spiritual heart. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to create in us a clean heart, and you're going to renew the right spirit within your people on tonight, the spirit of steadfastness, the spirit of unmovable, unshakable. You're going to help us, Father God, to mount up with wings as an eagle so that we won't be weary of everything that comes our way. But you will teach us through your spirit, train us through your glory, help us through your power that we may be able to stand for you in spirit and in truth. Father God, give us a desire to hunger and thirst for you even the more. There are so many people on tonight that they are hungry and they're thirsty for the wrong type of things. It's causing a spiritual malnutrition in their spirit, and they're feeling weak. They're feeling like they're ready to faint because they're not hungering and thirsting for the right type of thing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you help us on tonight to hunger and thirst for the righteous and holy things of you. Yes, we need to hunger and thirst for you so that when we're hungry, we will grow in our walk. When we're thirsty, we will flourish in our walk. We will be like a river that is constantly flowing by the rivers of the water, always standing in your presence, that you will be flowing through your people, oh God. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I'm asking you, Father God, let us not take your grace and your mercy for granted. Let us not take your love for granted, your kindness, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your meekness. Let us not take that for granted. The things that we do sometimes really, really, oh, Father God, displeases you. But help us to be real with you, God. Help us to see ourselves just as you see us. You saw us before the world was even formed. Sometimes the pressures of life causes so many of us to depart from you, causes so many of us not to trust you with our whole mind. So I'm asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bind up every stronghold right now that is not of your spirit, every stronghold, every strong man, every demonic force in the airways, atmospheres, fears, galaxy, that don't want this word to come forth on tonight. We ask you, Father God, to release the warring angels that you have fighting on this assignment today to bring forth a rich, lather word that would cleanse the very, very deepness of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get into the message, I'm going to play one more song, and then our speaker should be on the line. Be blessed, saints.
Laying at your feet, all
It is so good. And I'm talking from experience. I'm talking from relationship. I'm talking from the spirit of fellowship. It is always good to lay things at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. It is always good to lay things. Reason why I say things, because sometimes more than one thing occur, and it's good to lay it at the feet of Jesus. See, many people, they laid it at the wrong feet, and they got the wrong results. But I want you to know on tonight that when you lay it at the feet of Jesus, he's going to get to the root of it. He's going to solve the problem. He's going to show you what you need to do and how you need to do it and when you need to do it. That's the problem with the body of Christ. Many people, they don't want to lay things at the feet of Jesus. They want to go and take it to the media, the psychic. They want to get on a 1-800 psychic line that they got down there in California. Call in 99 cents per minute. The devil is a liar on End Times Deliverance Ministry. Because I learned the hard way that when you don't put God in it and you don't leave it there, you will reap what you have sown. Amen. So we must lay it at the feet of Jesus, and we must allow God to be God. Amen. We have Apostle Jody Fisher on the line. Amen. I see her just called it in. Amen. And this mighty woman of God, she have a message that God has given her. She's not preaching from a YouTube message. It ain't a message that somebody wrote up for her. This is a prophetic Holy Ghost filled message for the body of Christ, for the ones that were here. That means very, very attentively, very closely, and then do. Amen. What's the use of listening to something when you already know that your behavior, your body language is already saying, I ain't going to do it. I'm just going to listen to it. Well, you just come with a mind of itching ears, operating in the belly of witchcraft, ready to be resistance against the true sound doctrine of God. Amen. So we're going to bring on Apostle Jordan Bishop. We're going to let God have his way. Amen. In the woman of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, God. Apostle Fisher. How you doing? Hey.
Oh, just fine. And you?
I am doing fine. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Today we're going to be talking about intimacy with God. And I'm just going to give you the definition of what intimacy is. It means a personal, familiar, private, loving relationship between you and that person, which we will be talking about God on today. And I just thank God for being here. And, you know, I just thank God because when I think about intimacy, it began for me a long time ago, way before I got saved, way before I came to Christ. And, you know, God started this courtship with me. He started to wound my spirit, getting me into a frame of mind and setting me so apart and aside for his good use. And the way that he did this, the way he wooed me is that he sent someone to tell me about Jesus. And I just thank God for just being able to accept this relationship with God. Because so many people, they are not willing to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the
Amen.
Bible says, except God draw us, no man can be saved unless the Spirit of God draw us into salvation. And so this is
yes.
why when I think about the courtship, I think about how it's, when we go into the courtship with God, and my own testimony is that one day I was lost and I was in despair, and I began to ask God questions about, why am I here, Lord? Why am I going through so many things and seem like you're not answering me? There's no solution for my problem. And as I said, God sent someone to witness to me. My sister, she came to my house one day, and she said to me, come see a man. And I said, what man could this be that I need to come see that's making you so excited? Because she was so excited to tell me about this man. And so I said, who is this man? And she said, it's Jesus. She said, I got saved. I said, you did. And she said, come on out to church with me. So that's when God gave me my courtship, and he began to woo me. And as I went out to the house of God with her, I can remember the people showing so much love to me. You know, it was so much love, I just couldn't understand why these people were so excited to see me and wanted to bring me into the house of God and show me that love. I never felt love like that before. And as I began to go into the house of the Lord, she came back another night. They said, will you come back tomorrow night? And I said, sure, I will come back tomorrow night because they had showed me so much love, this courtship, this intimacy that I'm talking about. As I came back, they wooed me. God wooed me again. He said, I want you to come to the altar. They invited me to the altar one night. And let me tell you, my feet got light. My hands went up. And it was just such a love from God. I never felt anything like this. So in this courtship, it starts way before we get saved. God draws us into salvation to give us a more of a depth of an intimacy. You know, I thought about John 3:16. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I heard an audible call that day, and I just thank God for just because before she had even came, I heard it three times. A voice said, Geraldine, Geraldine. I kept saying, who is this calling me? I look out the window. I didn't see anybody. But I knew God was drawing me. And after I received this call, then after I accepted Christ into my life, I realized I became married to God. I realized after I gave my life to him that he became my husband. He became my everything. And he implanted the word of God in my soul and in my spirit. And this became an impregnation with the word. That word was the seed that impregnated me. And as the man of God began to call me back to the altar again, he said, do you want to accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And I said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then God began to deal with me. I began to seek the Lord. And he began to tell me, if you just abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will, I will give it to you. And I just thank God for that because when I begin to seek God about this Holy Spirit, he begins to let me know that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not just speak of himself, but he will show you things to come. And God began, I begin to say, Lord, I want that power. I want God to dwell on the inside of me. And do you not know that so many people, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But if you want to have intimacy with God, you're going to have to yield yourself to him. You're going to have to let him come and abide in you. Because this spirit that God is talking about, it's going to teach you many things. And I just thank God because God begins to deal with me and show me it's a difference in having intimacy with God and having superficial intimacy. You see, when you have intimacy with God, it becomes deep. It's not superficial. What about you like the scribes and the Pharisees? When he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you are like unto the whitest tombs, which these appear outwardly, but are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. See, that you can appear to be righteous, but you don't have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because this indwelling that I'm talking about, this intimacy that I'm talking about with God, it said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, when you think about a river, you look at a river, it continuously flows. That water keeps on flowing. If you can look out, it seems like it's endless when you look out. And that's how God wants the Holy Ghost to be on the inside of us. He wants to continually let that river on the inside of us flow. He wants to continually fill us. And so when you think about intimacy, you think about it's something you must crave. You must long for. You must desire. So many people don't desire what I'm talking about. A lot of people, they want religion. They want tradition. This superficial intimacy. They want a take it or leave it attitude. But when you get Christ on the inside, when you get filled with the Spirit, you have a strong passion for worship and praise. You're not like saying, well, you hear a lot of people when they go to church, they say, well, it don't take all of that, all of that shouting, all of that dancing. But, honey, it's going to take more if you want to be intimate with God. Because it said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Now, how are you going to worship God if you can't get in the spirit? God is not flesh. If you want God, you got to get in the spirit. And so many people do not want him. I used to ask God, I said, Lord, when I get up in the morning, I've been reading my Bible all night, but when I get up in the morning, I feel so empty. I said, why am I feeling empty when I get up in the morning? And he said, Geraldine, this is brand new mercy. It's brand new mercy. That means you got to have your cup out for some more. You got to have your cup out for this oil to run over in it. He said, you need to be filled up. This is a brand new day. So I just thank God for this fresh oil, because it's letting us know we can't dwell in, God does not dwell in stale oil. We have to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice. If we want intimacy with God, we are going to have to sacrifice. And so many people do not want to sacrifice. They do not want to get in the Word of God. They don't want to get up early in the morning and offer God the first fruit. Get on your knees and pray. Commune with God. Let Him talk to you. Let Him and let Him whisper sweet nothings in your ear. When you think about the church is built up symbolically as a bride and His groom. And I just want to tell you, God is that groom, and you are that bride. He is grooming you. But if you don't commune with Him, how can you know Him? How can you say you love God, your husband, and you don't spend no time with Him? It's just, you know, you just have to think about it, that so many people say they know God, but they don't want to spend any time with Him. They don't want to get in the Word of God. They don't want to know what their husband is saying to them. I want to know what my husband is saying to me. I don't know about you. But I think about my own husband. If I don't spend any time with him, somebody is going to steal him from me because I'm not giving him what he needs. So God and the Holy Ghost, when you think about the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He is not going to stay where he's not wanted. And if you keep on sinning, that's another thing, when we keep on sinning and we don't repent in our prayers to God, when we make mistakes and we sin and we just keep walking over it like we don't care, oh, well, I come to God and I'll repent tomorrow. No, the Bible says repent quickly, else I remove your candlestick from you. We don't want God to remove the Holy Spirit from us because we fail to repent. We fail to let sin be added on top of sin. And as I said, God is not pleased with that. And, you know, as you begin to go through conception, as you begin to get in the Word of God and you begin to know God, God begins to build character in you. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's one of the first things you should be filled with when you get saved. Because I remember when the God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I had so much love for everybody. I had so much love that I wanted to go out into the world and tell a dying world about Jesus. I didn't want to keep that to myself. I didn't want to keep my candle and put it up under a bed where nobody could see it. I wanted to put my candle so everybody could see it. I want the whole wide world to know I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. But nowadays, you look at people, they say, well, I'm saved, but they have no love. They have no character. And God is saying, this is superficial intimacy with me because you lack character. You lack substance. And God is looking for his people to have substance. You know, God wants everybody to know that you are a representative of him. If you have no indwelling of the Spirit, you have no power. You can be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. But it's letting us know you can be saved and not have it, but it will be hard for you. You need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in order to remain saved, in order for God to speak to you and commune with you and to use you in the body of Christ as like he wants to use you. This is why Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter that will abide with you forever. See, God wants to abide. He wants this Holy Spirit within us so he can abide with us. But when we mistreat the Holy Spirit and we sin and continuously sin, the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. So when we want this intimacy with God, we must be willing to make a sacrifice. We must have that yearning, that passion to keep seeking God day by day. You can't just seek God when you feel like seeking him. You can't just live any old kind of raggedy life and think God is going to be there, because he's not going to be there. And it's even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither does it know him. Praise God. I just thank God for his word, because his word is right all by itself. Without God, we need to understand that with our intimacy that we are nothing. When you come before God and you pray, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. You know, I thank God because God began to speak to me about Simon the Sorcerer. And he began to say to me, Geraldine, so many people that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost the way they want to receive it. See, Simon, he started out, he saw the apostles laying hands upon the people of God, and he desired the Holy Spirit. But one thing about it, But one thing about it, him designed the Holy Spirit, he wanted to get this power in the wrong way. But God is saying, as I begin to think about what God was saying to me, as he began to bring out that about Simon, he began to let me know, tell the people, you cannot shout and dance and sing in the choir and think you can buy this Holy Spirit. You can't fool God, too, because the Holy Ghost searches our hearts, and he knows if you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Many people say they're ready to receive it, but they're trying to get it other ways, like Simon the Sorcerer was. Some people trying to get it by paying their tithes and their offerings, coming to church on time every Sunday, being in a certain denomination and a tradition or religion. But that's not how you get the Holy Spirit. See, that's surface.
Amen.
That's surface intimacy. But God is looking for us to rend our hearts and not our garments. You know, he don't want this surface, this whitewashing. He don't want us to be like the scribes and the Pharisees, full of dead men bones. You know, you got to get this on the inside. It's a personal relationship with God. And so I just thank God because it's letting us know we got to be ready. God is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish. And as I said, so many people are trying to pretend that they have this intimacy with God. But it's going to show out. It's going to tell off after a while. So you can pretend that you're seeking God like you're supposed to. But the true saints of God know, because we are on one accord. And it said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. Because how do they know? They know by the characteristics. They know by the way that we live. And they know by the way that we present ourselves. If you're not fasting and praying and seeking God like you're supposed to, it's going to fail after a while. So I just hear God, and I hear him saying that once you get this intimacy with him and you get saved and you get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, then God begins to put you in the sincere milk of the word. And so many people, they want to skip all these steps. They want the power like Simon the Sorcerer, but they don't want to go through the process. You know, many people want to prophesy. They want to lay hands on the sick. They want to be prophets and apostles, but they don't want to go through the process. You can't skip all these processes and then just start laying hands on folks and saying God called you into offices and you haven't went through. That's why God is making us. He's making us through intimacy with him. How can you say you are a prophet and you never have intimacy with God? Because God can only speak to you through the Spirit. Praise God. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost moving on this on today. And it's just letting us know that so many people are concerned about the gift, but they're not concerned about the giver. It's time for us to put our trust in the Lord. And I hear the Lord is just steady speaking, saying, get in Christ. Get in me. Get the giver. Now, don't be so quick to get the anointing or get these other things that are not going to lead us back to Christ. That's going to lead us back to God. God is calling for true holiness. And the only way we can get it is we're going to have a personal relationship with him. And you know, I just thank and praise God because so many people, you can see it on Facebook, on the Internet, everywhere you go, people are trying to be wonders in our nation and in our world. Everybody wants to be on top, but nobody wants to go down on their knees. Going back down on your knees and being humble is what's going to raise you up. And God didn't promise to make us famous. He promised to give us a good name. He promised to make our name famous. Our name famous because why? Because we live holy like he did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made their name famous. Why? Because they did the things that God was calling for them to do. So that's what God is looking for. He's looking for someone who wants to humble themselves, and then he will raise them up. God will do it. It says so many are running after these rudiments of the world, but they don't want the intimacy of God. They don't want to eat the whole roll. God wants to redeem us back to him. He is a strong tower where the righteous can run in and be safe. And that's one thing you can look at when you think about intimacy, even with your husband, is his job to protect you. And God is and God is my God. He is my everything. It's his job to take care of me. It's not my job to worry about how I'm going to make it throughout the entirety of my salvation, but it's God's job. I put everything into his hands. So, and God is letting us know that in order for us to get this intimacy, we're going to have to study, we're going to have to read, we're going to have to fast, we're going to have to repent daily, and that's something people don't want to do as well. They don't want to repent. You got to humble yourself. It's things in your life that shouldn't be there. But we repent daily when we go on our knees in prayer. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They don't want the character of God. They don't want the characteristics of God, but they want the things of God. But God is letting us know, if you want love, even when somebody do you wrong, you still got to love. You got to forgive them if you want that intimacy with God, because God is not going to hear our prayers, and we can't love our neighbors. And that's one step that everybody wants to pass over. You know, I will say I'm sorry to her, but she'll rub it in my face. Well, honey, I'd rather for her to rub it in my face and go on my knees, because God is looking at us. He is looking at us as saints of God, and we have to get it right. We can't go on our knees and pray to God and we hate our brothers and our sisters. And so many people are missing steps. They are missing steps. They're not setting themselves aside for God's good use. So God is letting us know, he wants us to come to him, the lover of my soul. I'm coming to God because I love him. Because why? Because he first loved me. He loved me when I was a wretch undone. He loved me when I was out in the world and I was nothing. We have to remember where we come from. And, you know, sometimes we forget where we come from. But one thing about it, God said, I'm married to the backslider. It's no excuse for us not to live holy, because God has made the way. He has opened up the door. Praise God. He has opened up the door. And all we need to do is just step in. Just step into the water. If you need healing, you need your heart healed, you've been feeling rejected, like nobody cares about you, God said, I love you. I love you, and it's nothing he would not do for you. So I can thank God, and I tell you, I really have enjoyed being here on today, and I just want to let you know that strong meat, as we begin to mature in Christ, strong meat belongs to those who have gotten off of milk. Because so many people, like as I said, they want to miss these processes, but in order for you to be a mature saint, you got to drink some milk, and then God just don't choke us when we get this milk. We don't try to stuff meat down. That's why a lot of people will not come to Christ, because the oldest saints that say they've been around the church for a long time, they want to stuff meat down the baby saint's mouth when they get into the church. But you have to remember, they got to be on some milk before they can drink some meat, eat some meat. So God is wanting us to be representatives of him. You know, this intimacy with Christ will cause us to pull somebody else out of the fire. And a lot of us, we're missing steps. And God is saying, it's time to go back. It's time to go back. And there's nothing wrong with going back. Don't let pride keep you from going back. If there's something in your life shouldn't be there, ask God to take it out. Maybe you're not witnessing to people like you should. Maybe it had been baby saints came into your church and you have drove them away. Because why? You tried to be like that superficial intimacy, like the scribes and the Pharisees. But we have to remember, somebody was patient with us, and we need to be patient with others. You know, because I can remember, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I can remember when I first got saved, I was shacking up with my husband. And I'm not ashamed to tell where I came from. And I don't care if you go and tell the whole wide world where I came from, because I know where Jesus is taking me. But I remember when I was shacking up, somebody had to tell me, come on, no matter what you have on, come just as you are. I came just as I was. And when the Holy Ghost began to convict me of my sins, he said, now look here, you can't shack up and have me too. You're going to have to make a choice. I went home that night, and I told my husband, I said, look, if you love me, you will marry me. If you don't, hit the door. He said, I'm going to marry you, and I've been married ever since. Now, if I would have been in church in Newbed, I probably wouldn't have married him. But I was looking for Jesus at that point, and it's better for me to have come to Christ than to burn in hell. So I thank God for it, because as I said, when God saves us and he woos us, it just doesn't start at church. This started way before you got saved. God was drawing you into the kingdom of salvation. So I just thank God, and I thank God for being here, for Apostle Delilah having me. And I'm asking you all to pray for me, and I pray that you got something out of the word today. Because, God, if you get nothing else out of it, it's letting us know that we have to have intimacy with God. I don't care if you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a teacher, or you're just coming into salvation. Keep your faith. Guard your soul. Guard your spirit. Because if you don't have the spirit of Christ, you are none of him. And you cannot have God if you don't get your house in order. And I hear the Spirit saying, it's time to set our house in order. There's too many people going out here saying they know Christ, and they have missed all the steps that we talked about. They have misconceptions. They have missed all the steps because they wanted to run before God had prepared them and set them up. Because as I said,
yes,
you can prophesy and you can have these gifts and callings, but if you don't have no character, honey, nobody wants to hear you. You're just a tingling cymbal. Nobody wants to hear you if you have no love. You don't know how to treat
Come
your
on.
Fellow man. You don't know how to treat other people. So you all pray for me and just pray for me that I will be where God will have me in these last and evil days.
Amen. We thank God for
you back over to Sister Delilah.
Amen. We thank God for Apostle Jardine, how God used her on tonight. Amen. The spirit of intimacy is very vital in the body of Christ in these last and evil days. And it's just so important that all of us, not just one, but all of us, for the ones that have God's spirit, for the ones that is walking in spirit and in truth, to really have that solid foundation with God. And you cannot have a solid foundation with God if you're not spending quality kingdom time with God.
All right.
You just can't. And, you know, we got so many people faking the making. But when you got the spirit of God, you can slip and slide, hide like Clyde with the spirit of God. Because, see, the Holy Ghost, it sees your wicked, evil ways before they even manifest. So it's so important for all of us. This intimacy topic, it hit me tonight, right in my belly. And you know why it hit me in my belly? Because it brought conviction. Amen. I didn't come to act like I have arrived tonight. That's not even my makeup nor my profile. But I want y'all to know that when you can become transparent with the people of God, for they won't feel like they're the only ones not seeking God like they ought to. And you know, and they'll be like, well, goodness, the leader. That's right. Come on. That's right. We got a lot of leaders that are faking the intimacy, the relationship, the foundation, the work of God. We got too many fakers and shakers. Too many. And so I refuse. I refuse on tonight to lead anybody astray, even myself. Be not deceived. God has not mocked it. Whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. I'm going to say that again. Because it need to soak in our spirit. Just like you soak a shirt, a white shirt in some bleach, that shirt got spots on it. A lot of us, we need to soak in God's presence. Intimacy calls deliverance. It uproots, upplucks. It binds and it rebukes, it corrects. It sends reproof. Some of us, we feel like we already an angel. Honey, you is not no angel until the day of judgment. And I'm going to say that again. He's not, oh, Apostle, you're just such an angel. The devil is a lie. Don't let people label you. See, I'm going to be who God called me to be. Because I know that in the spirit of intimacy, there lies my victory. When you're at the feet of Jesus, that is the ground of intimacy. Jesus, he will begin to lead the way. He begins to show you the way that he ordained before the foundation of the world. It's either God way or no way. Like Apostle Jordan would say, you know, you're looking all clean on the outside. Shining all bright on the outside. Looking all like you're all connected. You're really disconnected. You're just a dirty on the inside. God ain't nowhere up in you. You're faking the move. We got too many fakers. But see, when you got the Spirit of God living in you, I said, when God is really living in you, you know them fakers and them shakers.
All right.
You know them snakes. You can't fool the Holy Ghost. No matter how hard you try. Nobody can fool God. Because just when you think that you're fooling God, you're fooling yourself. So we got Apostle Zandra on the phone. Amen. I tell you, God just got some mighty women on the line. When you got the Spirit of God, you are a mighty, mighty woman of God. That means you can do the impossible. But if you ain't got the Spirit of God, you ain't mighty. I don't care what you do in the natural. I don't care if you give your body to be burnt. I don't care if you give $1 million by the minute. God's Spirit ain't in you, you're not mighty. So we got Apostle Zandra. She's going to come on the phone. She's going to talk to us and give us what God is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Apostle. Amen. How you doing tonight?
Amen. How are you doing? How are y'all doing? Apostle Geraldine, it is so, you know what? I'm over here just a-cheesing. I was on the phone. I text Mama. I said, you tell Apostle. I said, amen. It was so fun. I was downstairs, and I'm pulling away to go into prayer and just get ready for what's going on. It's some excitement happening in heaven. But I was downstairs in my restroom, and I heard intimacy. I said, oh, my God, and the Lord said, having sex is not the same as being intimate. You ain't got. I said, oh, Jesus, what's going on here? And I went, I looked on Facebook, and I saw the topic tonight. I said, ain't nobody but the Lord.
Yes.
God. And I just wanted to tell the listeners, you know what, I was on a panel, and I'm going to, you know, keep it kind of, I'm not going to say no names or nothing, but I was on a panel, and I wasn't the only apostle. There was another apostle. There were several ministers. And when we talk about intimacy, when you're intimate with the Lord and you know him, he knows you, you can get on up in your prayer room and just go into tongues and fall all out and shout and scream all by yourself. You're intimate with the Lord. You pick up on some things. And I'm on this panel and not being allowed to say much, so I knew something was going on. But, you know, the talk was about, they were talking about sex. They were talking about marriage. They were talking about relationship. They were talking about sin. And the question came up, is masturbation a sin? And you got these leaders on the panel. And like I said, there was another apostle and other ministers. Okay. And you hear them say it's not a sin. And I'm sitting here like the devil is a liar. And
yeah.
I'm trying to really understand what's going on, because not that I don't know, but it really was a shock to me, because I'm sitting here like, for real? I mean, we got probably about 50 or 60 people that's listening in on this line, listening to this foolishness. And I said, see, these people that are listening, I hope they all are intimate and have an intimate relationship with the Lord, so they know who is of him, who is of his fold, and who is not. Because that just let me see up close and personal who I need to shift away from and what I really need to pay closer attention to even the more. It's not the people out there in the world. It's these people up close and personal calling themselves apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers that we got to watch. The ones that are saying, oh, yes, I'm intimate with the Lord. I know Jesus Christ. He called me to be. I am this. Them the ones you got to watch. There's a lot of people saying they know him. They're calling him by name. But when judgment comes, he's going to tell them to turn from me. I know you not. You work of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't care how many demons you done cast out. And then some of them are going to wind up like the seven sons of Sceva. They're going to be trying to cast out a demon, and demons going to tear their tails up. See, we got to get to a place. I mean, ooh, the Holy Ghost, come on here. Because they're not really as intimate with the Lord as they say they are. We have to understand. We should be, if we at the feet of Jesus, we should be able to spot him out. I said, Lord, I want to be able to smell this demon when it comes. I don't even need to see him. I want to be able to smell him, spot. We got to be so in Jesus that it's on our radar 2-5 miles away. We know when deception is in our midst. We got to know. In the last and evil days, it says even the very elect, it's possible.
Yeah.
The word impossible. will be deceived. And when I hear that, when I kept looking back, I think I'm going back in the word, if possible. I kept flipping back, then I had to go look up possible, I had to go look. And I said, you know what? And the if possible ones are the ones that don't have an intimate relationship. The if possible ones are the ones that's out there masturbating and playing with toys. I'm just being real. Y'all listen. The ones watching, still watching porno and then getting up behind the pulpit and spewing all that mess over the congregation. Them if possible ones. Them the ones that's going to be deceived because they doing some of if any and everything behind the pulpit and saying they still saved, saying they, oh, it's not going to affect my anointing if I touch myself. The devil is a liar. We got to look for a place that we are laying so at the feet of Jesus that I don't care what comes. You're going to spot it out. Every wrinkle, every blemish, every stain, you're going to be able to spot it out. And I was saying before I pulled away last night, I'm tired of these, you know what, I'm going to say the word coward. I'm tired of these Christians that are hide undercover. They want to say hallelujah at work while you're going to the bathroom. They want to say hallelujah in the corner at church, but they don't want to say hallelujah in public. They can't say Jesus' name out loud. They want to tuck their tails and act like they don't know him when there's a bunch of people around. But we're in a place right now, and I'm seeing so many, Pat, Apostle Geraldine, Apostle Mama Gamble, Apostle Barbara, Prophet Sean, and Apostle Byron, that are sounding the alarm, even on Facebook, not ashamed to say, yes, it's holiness or hell. And I don't care what nobody say. I'm not going to get up here and preach to the man or woman of God, these people, these sheep, and I'm going home doing some of anything behind closed doors. It is time for integrity. We got to understand what we do in our house. It's going to come to light when we go into the public. My husband talked, we were talking about that, and my husband said, now, that apostle thinks if she go in and she having her way and masturbating in private, that the men and the people of God can't pick that up. They're not going to be able to pick up that spirit on her. We got to understand that these people ain't stupid. It's funny how people think we got this stupid on our forehead like we were born yesterday. I tell people, I say, baby, you don't have to believe that God called women to be apostles. You don't have to believe that I'm an apostle. Baby, you don't call me Zandra if you want to. Call me Sister Ross. I don't care what you call me, but I'm going to spot that demon out and I'm going to cast it out. We got to get to a place of intimacy. When the Lord say drop somebody, you better obey. When the Lord say disconnect, move around, you better obey. Because right now, obedience. God is saying, I'm coming for the faithful ones. I'm getting ready to pour out blessings on the faithful ones. See, a lot of people on here see, ooh, I'm just going. A lot of people on here, I keep seeing people posting pictures. Say, hey, man, money coming tomorrow. We got to understand, you need to stop spewing blessings all over the place. Some people need to repent before they receive that blessing. I don't care how many amens you type on somebody's post, baby. If you have not been intimate and then you have not obeyed God, that blessing ain't coming to your house. So you better stop going all over Facebook typing amen or everything, thinking that a blessing is going to be dropped at your front door, thinking that the UPS man is getting ready to ring your doorbell because you said amen on Apostle such and such's post. We got to be intimate with the Lord. He needs to know us. We need to know him. And then, he said, if you delight yourself in me, then there's an if. It's contingent upon something else. And y'all, I'm telling y'all, there's a sound coming from me. I told Mama Gamba the other day, we got on the phone and tongues started coming up. I couldn't stop them. The last 2 days, the tongues that have been erupting from my belly have been extreme, have been intense. They've been knocking me on my knees. When it knocked me down, yes, I had to take my glasses off and I began to weep. I don't know what the tongue was saying. The tongues were so intense, I had to take my glasses off and weep. That's what I'm talking about in these last and evil days. You better get filled with the Holy Ghost. You better get filled. Don't nobody want it. You don't need to be slapped with it. You don't need to be doused with it. You better be filled with it because it needs to be overflow. There needs to be an overflow of abundance of the Spirit. So when you open your mouth, it just comes out. People should be able to know who you are without you opening your mouth. You should have an overflow. There should be a glow all over you. People should be able to see a picture on Facebook and say you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Woman of God, I see it. Man of God, I can see it. But there's so many people standing there. I'm telling you, it's foul. And I'm disconnected left and right. Block, delete, block. I ain't got time for foolishness. Hallelujah. Apostle Geraldine be spitting stuff and putting stuff all up on Facebook, and I see be one like here, two like there, four like there. because don't nobody want to hear the truth. When me and mama get to going, don't nobody want to hear the truth. But if you put a half-naked picture of yourself up, they'll like it. There'll be 60 and 70 likes on that. Glossed up lip tips. Because these are the people that are not intimate. They intimate with the world.
Right.
Come on. They know where every strip club is on the corner, where every liquor store is. They intimate with the world. But in order to get into the Lord's presence, you need to be intimate with Him. If you want if you want to see the Lord again, you better get intimate with Him. Time is a winding up. We don't have time to wait. Deception says, "Oh, we got tomorrow. Oh, you got next week." The devil is a lie. You don't know when God is gonna call you.
Amen.
You may walk out of your front door and somebody come right up on your front lawn and take you up out of here. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. So it's time tonight, I feel, to repent. Raise up your hands wherever you are and say, "Lord, clean me up. I believe in your Son. I believe He died and rose again. Lord, I believe. I want you to write my name in the book of life." It is time tonight. We can't be fooling around. We can't be playing church no more.
All right.
Oh, God.
You better get the Holy Spirit deep down on the inside of you, because you are the church, and He's coming back for you.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What's His name? Hallelujah. Hey, my say.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. My God, oh God, hallelujah, Jesus. Have your way. Oh, deliverance in this place. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Because when God begins to call you, he calls you into a place of first isolation.
Yes.
Isolation.
I get it, it is she.
And isolation is a holy place of isolation, so that you will be able to hear his voice more clearly, and you will understand his spirit. And when God shows up on the scene, you will know it's God. Isolation is your training ground. Caller 626.
The Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I've seen you call in, and you'll hang up, and you'll call back. But God is prompting your spirit to be still. That is God calling you. That is not a ghost. I want you to know that, because you think it's something else. When you can't see, your eyes just pop open. That is the power of God. That is God saying, I need to talk to you. And God is going to hook you up with people that really have the spirit to train you, to show you, to develop you. As long as you stay in the place where God puts you, because sometimes the enemy likes to cause your feet to run. Run out of the will of God. But I hear the Lord saying, as long as you want him, you can have him.
Yes, Lord.
And then we're going to go on break. We got 23 minutes, and I just feel an open heaven, saints. I'm so speechless tonight. My spirit is just so overwhelmed, and it's just so full of God's awe. So we just gonna go on a break, and anybody want to say something when I come by, just let God do it. Amen. Let him do it. Amen. The only way that a person can really, really sing like that from the depths of their soul is that they have an intimate relationship with God, and they know how amazing God is, because they begin to all taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why David said that in the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter. He began to say, oh, taste and see. Somebody say, how you taste God? You can't taste God. Oh, yes, you can. Through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's a sweet taste. It's a holy taste. He changed your taste buds from the stuff that you used to like that was not of his spirit. He'll change your taste buds by the power of the Holy Ghost. David said that thing with a deep passion. He said, oh, taste and see. Open up your eyes and see that the Lord is good. My God. Spirit of God is resting upon us tonight. His spirit is so thick in the atmosphere. Because anything don't taste right, you're going to spit it out. Amen. We need the spirit of intimacy constantly in our life. It's a process. And it begins to make progress. Holy intimacy. Now, there is some demonic intimacy that some people thinking that it's God and it's not. And I'm going to make it a little clear. There is some demonic intimacy that some people thinking it's God and it's not. Yeah, what them demons, they come in your dream and they try to penetrate you with their demonic penis. They try to have oral sex with you, those demons. That's not God.
Amen.
So the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God don't need to make you masturbate. That's demonic intimacy. Amen. We got my other daughter on the line, Chantel. Amen. God's going to have his way. I believe in the Lord having his way. See, I don't have my way too long. And people don't want God to have his way. That's the last thing they want, because they are the devil, that's why. Workers of iniquity. You can't turn sugar into salt. Praise the Lord, Prophetess Chantel. Praise and praise and
praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're talking about intimacy tonight. I tell you, God used Apostle Dirty to break open the root of intimacy. And then God used Apostle Zandra to go ahead on and to bust open the making of intimacy. And praise God, we're going to see what God going to use you to say tonight to put the lid on it. Call it a done deal.
My God, Jesus, that's a great topic. Because we're in the days where we're in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah once again, and a lot of people don't want to believe that, but they believe that sex, this is the new thing, and they think that age doesn't matter anymore, and truly, it's not really a factor, I say, but it's all about the mind. Intimacy starts in the inside of your body. It takes place. And the Bible tells the sexual sin is the only sin that take place, and it shows up on the outside of the body as well. But intimacy was supposed to be done God's way. You know, it wasn't for us to be going and grabbing somebody who we feel like
we should give our goods to, because in the book of Corinthians it says if a man sleeps with a virgin, he should marry her. And that stood out to me. I said, God, you know, that says a lot right there. And, you know, you really have to have a carnal mind to not understand what God means when he said that. But what he was saying was each man or each woman should have their own spouse. And in saying that means when that man sleeps with that woman, he has become a part of her. And so that's why he said that man should marry that woman. And nowadays you got people that feel like, hey, you got church people now, said, I'm just dating, I'm just having fun. And you're like, ooh, you know, you just having fun is not what you think it is. But when you just slept with John, you just slept with everybody that John just slept with too. Even Paul. So that's why it's good. That's why it's good to marry. Apostle Paul said, you know, he'd rather you marry than to burn. You know, if you stand like him and stay single. You know, and people they don't realize how serious it is. Nobody bases sex and intimacy off the Bible no more. Everybody want to bring toys into the bedroom. Oh my God, they want to bring all of these things from the world into God's unbound place.
Come on.
Surely sex was always for a husband and a wife.
Come on.
And you begin to sleep with all these people and you cling and here and you cling and now you're like, oh my God, I can't get over Bob. I can't get over Bill. You know why? Because you've been sleeping around and you carrying a bit of Bob and Bill in your area.
Yeah.
Your ovaries. All, you know, everything, your woman part, you're now defiled. You're carrying soul ties. You feel like you haven't, you bipolar, or, oh, I can't get him out of my mind. Baby, you can't get him out of your mind because he's now a part of you.
Yeah.
So now you have to go through a cleansing phase. And, you know, the Bible tells us some things only comes out by fasting and praying. And so what he means by that, this is one of those things that's going to take some fasting and some prayer. Because my guy Bob could have looked good and Bill too. But you know one thing, if we would have just kept looking at the face instead of going and, you know, seeing what Bob really got, we would be so messed up.
Come on.
But see, when we had sex and we, you know, intercourse or whatever you want to call it, when two souls begin to intertwine, because God told me one day, I was just sitting, and he said, sex is worship. And
yeah.
He said, when you have sex with your husband, you're worshiping me.
My
and so God.
God
took me back to all the times that I told my husband no. God took me back to all those times, and I couldn't do nothing but cry. I said, Lord,
jeez.
I'm sorry, because see, I've been abused before, so I felt like, God, I got my freedom back. God, I should be able to say no. God said you got your freedom back. But it was freedom where you can take your stuff back from the ones who used and abused you, not your husband.
Amen.
And that was deep to me. And I was just, you know, I just sat there and I meditated on it. Because I know a lot of married women, traditional women, who say, my husband, he ain't getting none tonight.
Come on.
I'm tired. Oh, I got my favorite wig on. I mean, I'm just being honest. I know some women like that. And, you know, me being young, you know, they look at me like, Chantel, girl, you better take notes. And I'm like, no, God is like, no, baby. You may see a lot of women like that, but let me tell you, it's very few who are doing marriage and handling intimacy my way. That's what God told me. And so that lets me know that a lot of people who've been married in 30 and 40 years, they married, but it's just according to that piece of paper. They're not even connected to their spouse spiritually no more. You telling me it's been 40, you telling me you've been married 30 years and you haven't had sex in 5 years? Something wrong with that picture. Especially if your husband is still an able-bodied man.
Come on now.
And so God is trying to set us free, and he said, separate for a time. Hurry up. Get back together real quick so you won't be tempted. So
Jesus.
Truly intimacy is for a husband and a wife, and we got to do it God's way. when that man begins to act up, God said, all you got to do, you got the key. Oh, you got the key. Put it in the ignition. Start that thing up and keep it going.
Yes. Come on now.
Because we have, it's so much power there. But then when we, in intimacy, we want to be careful not to bring Jezebel in there, withholding our goods because of what happened the present day. Or because we mad, we upset. That's manipulation.
Very much so.
You know, that's manipulation, and I had to learn that, you know. But just because I see my grandma do it or my auntie do it or my cousin do it, they didn't make it right. And, you know, some people may call it, well, they made me mad. You know, in the Bible, it also tells us to turn the other cheek, you know.
Yes.
So just because something is not right, it does not mean to retaliate. Sometimes you just got to love and love some more because it does cover the multitude of sins.
Yes.
I just praise God for that revelation because I know that when I came into God's will, it was not my will no more. It wasn't Chantel's will. I can't do it my way. So that means I had to throw away my toys. Yes, I had some. I did.
I had some too.
I had to get rid of them things because you know what? That was my way. This was before I got married, but that was my way of saying, I'm going to make him mad since he's acting like he's sleepy. I'm going to tell him I'm going to go get my toys, and that's going to wake him up. And I didn't know that at that time I was introducing myself to witchcraft, you know, to the things that works of the flesh. I'm trying to be the God in that man's life, you know.
Yes.
And he's buying into my goods. He's saying, okay, I don't want her to do that. But you know what that man told me one day? He looked at me. He said, you know what? If that's what you want to do, you want to get a toy, get a toy. Go ahead.
Come on.
And I'm like, oh, no, he didn't say that to me. You know, I'm like, man, I thought that was working. So I'm like, it ain't working no more. You know, and then that's when God began to show me those toys were put there to put out the fire, y'all, between a man and a woman. Oh, my God, and I'm thinking that I'm really doing something. I'm thinking I'm keeping myself abstinent sometime when he's out of town. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to make him want to come on to me. And he looked at me one day, and I know this was nothing but God talking to him because he's now my husband, but he was talking to me then. I know it was the voice of God, but he looked at me and he said, I don't know what kind of guys you used to date before me, but I'm not one of them. And I
said,
you know, I looked at him. I said, I thought guys liked it that, you know, because I was with this one guy and his way of intimacy was he want me to send him pictures, you know.
Yeah.
And, hey, I thought it was okay because it's pleasing him. You know, he sent me back all these great messages of how good I look and how good he feels. You know, I thought I was wowing him, y'all. But really, I was just stirring them spirits up that was in him. And every time we got together, it was like fire with me and him. But it wasn't fire in no other area but the area of intimacy with sex. And I had to begin to see that me and him had nothing more in common. It was nothing else that he could really do for me. He couldn't be there when I wanted him to, but, oh, I can feel him through the phone, y'all. It was that strong. I could feel him through the phone. So we really have to be careful. We have to be careful.
Yes, we do.
What we get involved
Amen.
With because we'll be Amen. Thinking we got the Holy Ghost and still fighting that thing.
Come on.
So I bless God on tonight for all of us being set free from the intimacy of man's way and now stepping into doing God's way, the clean way.
Amen.
The
Come
way
on.
That ain't gonna leave no guilt, no shame.
Come
You'll
on.
Be able to look at the kids in a way where you don't feel like a pedophile, because that's what I feel like.
You better come on here.
You know, you don't have to look at your kids and feel like I'm a bad parent because what I'm doing, I'm ashamed. Because really, when you come down off of that high and you get that, you climax or wherever you're trying to go, when you come down, you feeling bad, nasty, like you can't wash your hands with enough soap, like you can't wash yourself up good enough, like it just won't go away. And so we ought to know that when we begin to feel like that, and it only come once in a while, those are spirits that we are getting high up on.
Yeah.
And I mean, it don't take more than one puff with that, y'all. All you have to do is tap into it. I mean, I remember I had toys before I got rid of them. I had them in my house. And it's like people could tell. They wouldn't talk about it. But those seducing spirits, you attract those kind of people. The women that I do hair, some of them will come and they'll talk about how they got all these different dudes and stuff. And I'm like, Lord, their conversation is staying on stuff like that. What's the deal? What's wrong? But I had to, God said, you still have those. Get rid of those. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's an open portal.
Amen.
And it'll even cause people to call you. Those spirits, you know, they'll have people to call you that carry that same spirit when you
Amen.
Still have an open door. So if we stepped out of it, y'all, we got to close every door. Get rid of the
Amen.
Old toy. You know, whatever you used to do in the world, you can't bring it into the bedroom, into the undefiled room. That's what the Holy Ghost is able to stir up. And reconcile and rebuke and edify. That's where the Lord does his work in your bedroom. And we just got to keep it comfortable for God. Keep it holy. Keep it sanctified.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
I just bless God for this conversation, y'all. I feel like I'm getting healed some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's what intimacy is about. Prophetess Chantel, it's a process, and a lot of people, you know, like Apostle Jordan was saying earlier, they don't want to go through the process, you know, because when we go through the process reveals the very truth. And so, you know, we thank God for everybody that came on the line tonight. As the Spirit of God began to move, God began to give each person a new revelation of this word intimacy. And I just want everybody to know that our victory in God is in our intimacy. Your intimacy with God, it allows you to gain new victory every time. That's why the enemy, he wants us to have 50,000 things to do per day, keep from us getting into the face of God. And I have gotten to the point in my life that no matter what, I need the Lord. Amen. We got 58 seconds left on the show. We thank God for Apostle Zandra. Amen. How God used her to bust it open. We thank God for Prophetess Chantel. How God used her to put the lid on it. Amen. Signed, sealed, and delivered. I thank God for everybody coming on tonight at End Times Deliverance Ministry. Tell somebody about Jesus. And while you're telling them, make sure that you're living the life. May God bless you all. And remember, for we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Good night.
How many of you know that the anointing destroys the yoke? The anointing breaks every chain. Let the power.